Why are financial market players betting the Greek debt crisis is about to be resolved? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. European officials are talking aloud today about scenarios in which Greece is forced to abandon the euro. Savers in Greece are taking their money out of bank accounts at the rate of about $1 billion or euros a day. Yet Greek, German, and French bond yields are down this morning, hinting not of crisis but of some resolution. Indeed, Greece's prime minister said today that scenarios of crisis are wrong, and he remains confident a deal can be reached with creditors. On Fridays, we like to consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
I've been looking at European bond yields here, actually our bond yield as well. I don't see panic connected to Greece this morning. Stocks are up a little bit in Europe. What explains that?
Here's what they're betting. They're betting that this whole thing has been gamesmanship, that the Greek government was convinced a Greek exit from the euro would be so devastating, there'd be so much fallout risk that the Europeans would eventually cave. What they think has changed is that the message from Lagarde at the IMF, from the finance ministers of Europe, what was so clear the last couple of days that they frankly don't care. And as a result, The Greek government has done a quick rethink, and whatever deal they're offered on Monday, they're going to take it.
Which is a snapshot of the market psychology driving this. Those market participants may believe this. What do you think? If the view is wrong, there's going to be trouble.
Well, and it's a real long shot. I worry that possibly there's a language barrier here, if you will, between the thinking of the extreme left in financial circles and the more traditional thinking in the markets. The Syriza party is made up of various fragmented communist and extreme socialist and anarchist parties in Greece. These are groups that believe that debt is a form of slavery. In a sense, what the IMF did when they made their rescue loan to Greece was put Greece in chains they'd be in for the next 30 years. When you're operating from that kind of logic, I'm not sure they're willing to sign on for a rescue. So obviously, we have to keep our eyes open. We hope for the best. But I wouldn't bet that it necessarily works out all that well.
All right. So it could be a tense weekend in this arena. Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome.
Greece did say this morning that the European Central Bank increased emergency funding. This would be designed to keep banks open in the face of those large withdrawals in Greece by depositors there. The amount was less than Greece had requested, though. Marketplace's correspondent in Athens, Stephen Beard, reports that business appears to be normal at banks and ATMs, at least this morning. For those who thought Chinese stocks were unreasonably high, their expectations of a correction were fulfilled this week. The composite stock index in Shanghai fell more than 6% today, and that index is down 12.5% for the week. It was the worst performance there since the global financial crisis. Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. America's power grid is getting old, and blackouts are apparently up. One city in Connecticut is taking measures to rely less on the grid and more on local power made by hydrogen fuel cells. As part of our series this week on America's iffy infrastructure, Marketplace's Scott Tong visited the biggest collection of fuel cells in the country.
Right by the train tracks in the old industrial town of Bridgeport, Connecticut, there's a set of big white containers connected to hoses and pipes that looks a little too white, too new. Each box, about half the size of a shipping container, makes energy. Inside are fuel cells. Kevin Hennessy of the utility Dominion Resources explains it's a chemical reaction that combines hydrogen and oxygen.
They kind of cross through the anode and the cathode. They meet one another, and the electrochemical reaction creates water, heat, and electrons.
There's no burning of a fuel, so no emissions. And these fuel cells are a neighborhood local source of power, an alternative to the grid.
If the larger grid has problems because of, say, a hurricane or something, the local utility could take this output and kind of direct it to which substation they want to keep online.
Local power is more reliable. But how do you get permission to build a plant in a city where NIMBY, not in my backyard, has now become, nope, not on planet Earth?
Who wouldn't want virtually zero emissions, something that doesn't bother your neighbors, something that can be built very quickly, something that can be put right in the middle of a population center?
Fuel cells do cost more, but more states and more countries are now subsidizing electricity they consider higher quality. Clean, reliable, local, non-intrusive. Still,
it's not a change that's going to happen instantaneously.
Joel Reinbold of the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology says incumbent power plants stay in business for decades, especially if fossil fuels are cheap.
If the market is flooded with very low-cost hydrocarbons, there may be a delay, a desire to simply get cheap power regardless of sustainability.
For now, though, fuel cell energy with government incentives is price competitive here. In Bridgeport, Connecticut, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And remember in the Mike Judge comedy Idiocracy, when we evolve into a nation of nitwits? In the film, these nitwits of the future have allowed all the highway overpasses and other key bits of infrastructure to collapse. For more of our coverage of present-day iffy infrastructure challenges, including video explaining how a power grid is supposed to work, you can go to marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.